49. Memor watched the great floods sweep across lands that had held towns and forests and would now be swamps. Great constructions from far antiquity were undermined and slumped. Under great magnification, from this new satellite view, she studied the rooftops of homes and city centers. There were no survivors awaiting rescue. A few boats bobbed here and there, but not many.
"It is a tragedy indeed," Bemor said.
He looked tired, surely from the work of keeping the ice mines in touch with the primates, funneled through the mind of the poor Tananarive.
"But we are demanded at the leaving ceremony. Come."
"Who demands this? I do not wish to witness such."
"The ice mines command. Their attitude has changed substantially. I do not sense their goodwill toward us any longer."
Memor bristled and gave quick fan signals of rebuke and mild anger.
"The crisis faded away, yes, and we surely played a role.
Of a kind."
Bemor gave a feathered signature of drab purple resignation and wheezed a bit.
"Come, and bring your primates. The ice mines wish them to see this."
"They have rested and eaten," Memor said. "Perhaps they will profit from witnessing."
They entered the citadel of the Dishonored to see Asenoth's end. She would be churned into the great matrix of dead plants and animals so the Dishonored could enhance topsoil. Memor and Bemor plodded into the high arched atrium, where subtly hidden machinery murmured, managing the bacterial content, acidity, and trace elements of the slowly roiling mud fluid below the pit. First the pit, then the garden, the fate of all.
"I dislike Asenoth," Memor whispered, "but she did have talent."
Bemor said,
"Insults are best not remembered. She was sure of herself and had no thought of consequence."
Still, Memor needed to consult her undermind to help her get through this. Calling the extinction of one she had worked with a just recycling did little good. The primates followed, and the Sill. Bemor remarked,
"They show few signs of the early stages of adoption. Perhaps we'd best be rid of them."
"I believe the ice mines will not allow any executions or harm to them," Memor said. "Or the Sill, though we could build a case against them."
Bemor flashed vigorous objection.
"The ice mines were behind the Sill actions. They wished the humans brought to them, without our knowing such intent."
"Ah, so the Sill are invulnerable, as are the primates. I dislike profoundly having our command of these creatures revoked for the sake of a passing problem."
"It is not passing." Asenoth's Lambda gun pulse passed along the jet for a considerable distance. It intersected portions of several of the diaphanous. One was killed, the others injured. These could self-repair with help of others who could lend portions of their own anatomy. To damage the diaphanous is to endanger the jet, and thus the bowl."
Bemor's grave voice boomed.
"An example must be made!"
Memor saw Asenoth being led to the pit, and recalled when she herself had faced the prospect of oblivion. Asenoth had been disappointed at Memor's being spared, and had allowed a pitch of reluctance into her later comments. Now Asenoth faced the yawning black pit at the center of the vault. The sentence was read, and Asenoth gave no reply, or any mournful yips and drones. Her feathers were a muted gray, and hung lifeless. Her fate spread before her in the green slime before the final descent. Deep, long chords sounded. Various religious figures were there, clad in ancient folk grand cloth. They urged Asenoth to convert to their faiths, here in her last moments. Memor recalled that through its history the bowl had passed by worlds where creatures shaped like ribbons or pancakes held sway. These the ancients had termed philosophers, for they had little tool-using ability. Such fauna were deeply social and spun great theories of their world, verging into the theological. To Memor, philosophy was like a blind being searching a dark room for an unknown black beast. When philosophy verged into theology, it was like that same predicament, but the black beast did not even exist, yet the search went on. Asenoth waved the religious folk away, giving a fan flutter of rejection. Asenath declined a final statement. Then her feather crown altered to deep gray. She raised her head and said,
"We die containing a richness of lovers, and characters we have climbed into, as if trees. I have marked these on my body for my death. Then I go into the great soil."
Memor wondered at this. No one would see such inscriptions. Perhaps it was a declaration Asenath hoped would somehow make its way into folklore. Head held high, with a resigned shrug, she simply stepped off the edge and slid down into the disposal hole. She had never looked at the crowd of witnesses. Memor could smell a fear among the primates. She had nearly forgotten them. She reassured them that this was to educate them in the ways of the bowl and the great soil to which all must return. A primate vomited at the sight and smell of the execution, spattering vile acid.
Memor saw it was Tananarive, who she recalled had learned some of folk speech. These creatures were smarter than she had supposed, as recent events revealed. There was a long silence after the ceremony.
Bemor said to the primates, "We have strict justice for all here."
Tananarive said,
"It looks like you're ruled by those ice mines. They can order executions?"
Bemor said, "The bowl would fail if there were not an authority who could override the passing opinions of individuals, or of species. Your own ship has a captain."
"I never thought it would be a pleasure to see Red Wing again," Tananarive said. "But life is full of surprises."
They all, Cliff, Irma, Terry, Abby, laughed hard and long at this. Memor saw that this eruption came from great internal pressures, now released.
"We shall have to be careful with these primates," Bemor whispered in folk speech. "They are few, and we are merely many trillions."
He and Memor laughed with deep, rolling tones of relieving tensions. In not too long a time, they would remember Bemor's joke with little humor.